episode has gone before, except for anything that's 15 and beyond. Joining me this week, as always, I guess, is Daniel from... You know, all this time I always see you from Europe. I don't remember what part specifically. Are you British?
No, I'm American.
But I know you're not American because you're not awesome.
Well, I can speak English perfectly fine, can't I? And I talk about how the English are better than Americans, so...
Would logic say
that I am British?
I don't... Well, you see, the thing with saying British is it encompasses a lot of stuff, doesn't it?
I'm from England.
Okay, there you go.
There we go.
And joining us from America's favorite hat, our winter hat this season, is Chad and Michael.
Hi!
Yeah, ironically, your winter hat is the only part of your country not getting snowed on.
That is not true. Mike's getting snowed on.
Well, we were for like a day, and it was awesome.
And I'm not getting snowed on, so... And that's the... You know what? It doesn't matter. You're America's favorite hat. It helps that you're our OE hat. I mean, Mexico is like our dog that we kicked
technically
over and moved.
Why does everything
like
have to be a
our
thing?
Hat?
Is Alaska OE a hat? Because wouldn't it be on the like the back of your head?
We
like
wear
a ponytail?
A hat on our side because we're awesome.
I don't wear hats on my head.
I think this metaphor has gone far too far.
I don't think this metaphor ever worked, but it, you know.
You're so adamantly calling us a hat and, like, fucking dogs and stuff. I don't understand.
No, Mexico's a dog.
Everything's part of your little household.
Yes, pretty much. It's America, and then it's America's accessories. You make us who we are by accessorizing this country. Dad, however,
it's video games.
Yeah, that is not what we're talking about. We're talking about video games that deal with American-Canadian relationships. But I guess since we are short, well, not short on time, but what has everybody been playing this week? Let's start with Michael, since he wants to talk so much today.
What? I don't know. I haven't been playing a whole lot. I was pretty proud of my achievement in completing Bayonetta and playing a game for extended amounts of time, so I was kind of riding that for a bit, but I did purchase Mass Effect 2 DLC for the first time. I got the Lair of the Shadow Broker because I really wanted to get back into
Mass Effect
stuff. So out of all the ones available, I guess that was apparently the best and the most recent, so I went with that, and it was pretty good.
How much is it?
800 internet points? I don't know. It's like $5.
That's $10.
$10.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily. I don't know. Like depending on how much you love that game, I guess your value may differ. But I enjoyed it. It was worth it. So I had 800 points lying around, and it was a good 3 hours, 3.5 hours rushing through it. And I don't know. It's interesting because it seems like a significant part of some of the side story was in there that will somehow affect the third, but since it's optional, I don't know how they'll incorporate it or get that across, so I don't know. It was cool. I hope they do it. I think they're doing more, aren't they?
Not DLC.
They are, they probably...
Like one more.
If they are, they're probably just putting it on the PS3 disc so you can rebuy that version and get the full game.
Well, you can complain if you think that BioWare have betrayed you.
Huh?
Nothing.
Oh no, man! I will suck BioWare's teat to the nth degree. Like,
I did not know where that was going. So
I was kind of hoping it was going to go somewhere else.
Oh really? What?
It didn't. I was like, there's two possible places this could go, and you took it to the tamest of them both.
I don't know what's going on.
Don't worry about it.
It's a good thing that let's move on.
It's just me being 12.
What else have you been playing, or is that it?
I've been playing a lot of iPhone games. I picked up that Telltale Professor Layton thing. What is it called? Puzzle Agent. Nelson Tethers? Nelson Tethers, Puzzle Agent. And that's been pretty good. I mean, like, I've never played any Professor Layton games, but that was pretty cheap. I think it was like 99 cents or something. And
yeah.
it's interesting. I don't know. It doesn't fit the iPhone format very well, just because there's a lot of information you have to get across, like especially during the puzzles. Like you have to switch back and forth between the puzzle and like what you're trying to accomplish if you need more information. So that can get kind of frustrating. Like one example was there's four like meals and four people that look like food, and you have to match what they're eating to that specific person, and you're given like a list of clues or whatever, but you have to look at the picture separately and then switch back to the clues. So you gotta like write them down. I don't know. It's not very intuitive, but I'm enjoying it. It's pretty funny and cheap. So it's a good way to spend 10 minutes sitting on the toilet, I guess.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Wait, did you say that people look like food?
Well, in that one puzzle, like it's like one person looks like an ice cream sundae, and they might be eating like a big ham. But there's also a person that looks like a ham or a pig or something. But
this
he might
no
not
sense.
Eat the pig.
Just so you know that this makes no sense.
Okay, well I'm glad because trying to explain it sounds really weird, man.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it
okay,
does.
So, yeah, Nelson Tellers, I give it a people looking like food out of 10.
This guy looks like an ice cream sundae.
It's really weird.
What the hell? That's
awesome.
That sounds like something out of like Beauty and the Beast.
Kind of.
Let's not kid ourselves, though. If you could look like an ice cream sundae, you'd totally do it.
I would look like something people would want to eat.
Well,
I look like broccoli or something. Something people don't want to eat, so I can survive.
You
want to
look like a cartoon fart?
I don't even know what we're transitioning to anymore.
Well, that's what broccoli is. It's like...
It looks like okay.
It's just like a drawn puff that would emit from the anus.
I look like Bushroot from Darkwing Duck.
I'm... What? What's even happening right now?
I think it's time for you to name what game you've been playing this week.
Yeah, my weekly game that's not StarCraft this week was something that Earl's going to be quite stoked to find that I've actually been playing, because he's only been getting after me to play it for, what, years now, it feels like.
I would also point out, and if this is the game I think you're talking about, this is the game that I think you were supposed to play after episode 4. Because I remember there was an episode where you hadn't played Arkham Asylum and Jason hadn't played something else, and you both agreed to play it in between episode 4 and 5.
Oh,
so
well,
it's good to see
you. I screwed that up.
Better late than never, right?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's so much like later than everyone else played it. Or maybe it's just because it's been so hyped up, like, unbelievably. I mean, I'm not quite as taken with it as everyone else is. It's well, undeniably a very good game. Like, that's not in question. But,
Just so we're sure, you should mention that you are talking about Arkham Asylum.
Well, you mentioned it before me.
Well, you didn't confirm what I was saying, so...
Okay, Mr. Confirm or Deny guy over here.
I was just making sure, because it sounds vague. But what
okay,
is your
yes.
issue
I've
with...
I've been playing Batman, Arkham Asylum.
What is your issue with it?
No, nothing. It's just... It's very good. It's
You just
great.
Expected more?
I don't know what I expected, to be honest. It's, I keep in mind that I've only played the first probably hour or two of it. So I really can't even judge it at this point, or I wouldn't feel comfortable judging it at this point, at any rate.
I mean, you can give us your first impressions. I mean, it's like a 10-hour game, so you've played like 10% of it already, so...
Yeah. I like the detective mode. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, my problem with the detective mode, and this happens with a lot of games that use this, is you end up being in that mode a lot more than you are in an actual vision.
I think it got to the point where I was just walking around with detective mode on constantly.
Yeah, that's pretty much... That's what usually happens, because it gives you all this vital information... And it makes no sense not to have it on, but it really gets annoying. I had that same problem when I was playing Bloodstone, because if you use the cell phone mode, it tells you where guns are, it tells you where ammo is, it tells you where enemies are, it tells you where your checkpoint is. So it makes no sense not to use it. But you actually want to see what the game looks like?
Well, in the case of Bloodstone, you don't.
It's not a bad chicken game.
Everyone looks like plastic dolls.
Oh, you damn Judi Dench. So, yeah.
It should be an offense punishable by death to make Dame Judi Dench look bad, by the way.
It should. I'm surprised they have... Well, I mean, I guess it would help that the company's closing down, so maybe it was punishable.
Oh, that's so sad. Bizarre Creations is so awesome. Like, Microsoft needs to hire all of those guys and make Project Gotham 4.
The problem that's with that is just Microsoft doesn't do first-party developers anymore.
Well, they're gonna.
They won't. I don't know why, but I can't see them doing it.
No,
I don't know if anybody would. It's hard to kind of buy Bizarre Creations because they don't. I mean, their last three games weren't hits, so it's not like they have a track record where like you need to get them. Like if you want to pad out your portfolio with maybe something you don't produce, I could see that. Like, it makes no sense for Sony because they have put up, you know, Microsoft has the Forza team. So, I mean, Nintendo, but I don't see them meshing well.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
And I, you know, if it's not Activision, I doubt EA is going to pick them up. How many people
no,
have they? Ubisoft.
Codemasters.
Who was it that EA came right out and said they were never going to buy? Because I remember reading about
Harmonix.
That. Oh, yeah, it was Harmonix. Right.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know. I figured they got like sold, and people would maybe expect. I don't know. It was fucking intuition. Look at me.
Okay. Like,
yeah.
Off
it.
Yeah.
Don't ruin this
intuition.
For me.
So, but yeah. You ruined it by saying you were guessing.
But that was awesome.
I don't really know what else can be said about.
Arkham Asylum
at this point that people haven't already said a billion times over. But I like it. I definitely want to keep playing it, which is actually a huge thing. Like, for me to want to keep playing a game and not just play more StarCraft is kind of, like, huge. So, go Arkham Asylum. You've done something that not many other games have managed to do.
Do you think you'd enjoy it more if Batman had his shirt off?
What?
Isn't that like skin or something? I don't know. I just remember that. That's like my first Batman association.
Oh, the fact that he's
game.
Got 800 pounds of muscle, roughly?
He totally does, yeah. Thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Too much muscle? Not enough? Two-tone?
I don't like that they modeled him after me without telling me they were going to do it.
Dick move.
It's like,
I'm sure that's what they did.
I am sure.
You gotta buy rights to that shit, man.
Yeah.
So sequel. He's just a Daniel.
I have been playing Pokemon Black and this free indie game called Octodad.
How are you saying Pokemon Black?
I have a hacked translation of it.
It's about one of those
it's
days.
It's just got highly illegal.
Since when did I do anything legal?
Nintendo's going to close us down.
For the record, we in no way condone this.
Nope.
This horrible, fucking horrible dead. Behavior.
But you can talk about it.
Yeah, I can talk about it. So
yeah, we all want to hear about it, but just...
So they made some changes that I'm not too fond of and some changes I'm a really big fan of. And it's kind of, I don't know, hit and miss at times with me. So the first thing that you'll probably immediately notice is they changed the battles so like the Pokemon are actually animated instead of just like they're animated
sprites.
When they come in. Well, they are sprites still, but
like,
they are fully animated now. So
it's kind of cool.
So, as, like, they're doing nothing, they'll just stand there and they'll sort of do their, sort of, they have an animation for when they're idle and not doing anything. And they'll have, occasionally, they'll have an animation for when they do an attack. And when they go to sleep, their eyes actually close, which is nice.
That's cool.
That's
cool.
That was the first thing that impressed me. And the second thing is you know how they've moved into 3D for the environments. What they've done is they've kind of expanded on it a bit. So there's one bit where you cross a bridge with, and as you go across the bridge, it kind of zooms out on the bridge and you see yourself getting smaller as you walk across the bridge. And you can see cars and boats going under the bridge. It's pretty damn cool. And I think that with the presentation, they really, actually, you can tell they put a lot of effort into it. Although I have noticed, I noticed some frame rate drops. And I really wasn't expecting to see a frame rate drop in a Pokemon game of anything. Some things I do not.
How so? Like, what was?
Like, when you, you can mostly tell when it changes the music in the background. So what it does is, like, there'll be a guy in one of the cities and he's playing an accordion, right? So as you're near him, you'll hear the accordions in the music, and as you go away, the accordion will drop out. And there's also another house in one town where there's a guy on a piano and a guy on the drums. And if you speak to the guy on piano, he's like, look how cool I am on piano. And then it adds pianos to the music. And then if you go and speak to the drum guy, he's like, oh, I'm so awesome on drums. And then you hear drums in the music. It's pretty sweet. But it's normally cool. When it changes that's when you sort of see it hitching, especially when you're on a bike and you're moving really fast. Some of the things I'm not a fan of, though, is so on the touchscreen, they used to have, in Diamond and Pearl, they had, like, your watch thing, and it had, like, a calculator mode. And
I hated that. Your Pokemon gear.
Yeah, it had a calculator mode, and it had, like, a map on it and stuff, which was all right. And then what they did in Heart Gold and Soul Silver is they put a bunch of buttons down there. So you can toggle the running. You can press a button on there, and it will get on your bike. And had a bunch of other stuff, which I was actually a fan of, because you could access the options and save menu down there. What they did with the touchscreen in Pokemon Black is a bit, how do I put it? It's not very intuitive. So when you load up your save, it will say, do you want to enable the Sea Gear? And you think, what the hell is the Sea Gear? And it tells you that the Sea Gear is... Basically, what it does is it constantly scans for people around you that are playing Pokemon Black, which is a drain on your battery, unfortunately. So it's constantly scanning. It's not, like, in an interval or anything. It's there constantly. And as far as I can tell, they haven't added any new features when it comes to interacting with your friends, other than you can go into your friend's world. Not that it's going to be much different from yours. And I just think that it's a little redundant wasting all the touchscreen space just for that when, A, it's limited, and, B, it drains your battery. Because if you turn it off, it just blanks out the touchscreen, and that's it. And you can, there's like a button you can touch, and it will turn it on, and that's it. Also, I don't like... the new Pokemon, they just like, let's just say this, I've yet to encounter a new Pokemon and not say, what the fuck is this?
What? What about, like, Power Ranger one?
I'm not
the
kidding.
The Power Ranger one?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. There was, normally when you play a Pokemon game, you can kind of see that this is like a bug type thing, because it looks like a butterfly, or it looks like something you can relate to in real life. Whereas these... A lot of these new ones are just like, I don't know, it'll be a dark green blob, and you think, what the hell is that? So you just use a random attack on it, and you find out through what attacks work and what attacks don't that it's a poison type.
So it's like more Generation 2 than Generation 1.
Well, even
is what you're saying.
Even Generation 2 had like recognizable Pokemon. It's just... And the thing is because you don't get to see any previous Pokemon until you beat the Pokemon League. So everything you'll see up until the Pokemon League will be new.
Which is, I think, what they were trying to do is that,
it's a good idea, but when it
is.
To a point where you see a new Pokemon and you have to ask what the fuck is it is, because it's just a blob. Or
that fucking blob.
It sounds like they're trying to recapture the magic of egg. Blue and red.
But,
I mean, at the time, I don't think everybody knew the whole concept of like the rock, the rock, yeah, because there are Pokemon that, like, Mark wouldn't have, like, what would you assume Mark was?
Well, it's just a, it's kind of an obvious, but the thing is Mark is a bit of a ambiguous one, but these ones are really, just go and look at all the sprites, they are really ambiguous, and you can't tell what half of them are.
Okay, well, what about this one? What about the one that's like the dinosaur that's pulling up its pants?
What?
Yeah, I thought that. One. I found it in a desert, right? So I thought it was ground type, right? It's not. It's fighting. I was
what?
Like,
what? How does that fight? That. Just holding up his pants. It doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. That's what this is. What I'm talking about is. It's just, I don't know. They really kind of dropped the ball when it came to actually designing the Pokemon. And the only one I actually like is the grass starter.
Haven't they been dropping the ball for a while on the design, and we just haven't realized it because all the old ones were still in it?
Even then, Generation 5 had some really cool Pokemon.
It's true. Yeah.
And I'm sure this one has some, there were always Pokemon you wanted, and there were Pokemon you avoided capturing.
There are some times where, when it's not ambiguous, you can tell what they are just by looking at them. Say, for example, you go into a cave, and there's this rock thing, and you think, oh, this is the replacement for Geodude. And, again, to use the example of the cave, it's like a flying bat thing, and you're like, oh, this is the replacement for Zubat.
Okay.
But wouldn't you rather new ones than...
Yeah, but when it's obvious it's just
things that are just offshoots
else,
of...
I would rather see more Geodude and see more Zubat than have what is just a blatantly obvious replacement for it. Although...
Okay, yeah, I can dig it.
I have to admit, they have... The presentation is, aside from the designs of the Pokemon, is really good. And, the gameplay is still... You know, people play Pokemon for the gameplay, and it's still there.
Yeah.
They haven't changed it mildly, apart from the addition of either rotation battles or triple battles, depending on what version you have.
And that still works?
The
like
types of battles you can do differ by version?
Yeah, so you have your normal battles, which is one-on-one, right? And then, if you remember, in Generation 3, they introduced two-on-two. Now they have 3-on-3s, but depending on what version you have, they work differently. So if you have black, you get rotation battles, which is you have three. Each player has three Pokemon out in the field, and you can attack. And then if you need to, you can rotate the field, and only the Pokemon in the middle can attack. And they can only attack the Pokemon facing them. Whereas if you have Pokemon white, you have triple battles and say the Pokemon on the left can attack the Pokemon in front of it, and the Pokemon to the right of it. The Pokemon in the center can attack anyone they like, and the Pokemon on the right can attack the person to the Pokemon on the left, and the Pokemon directly in front. I'm a fan of the way white does it, because rotation battles just make it so, like, say if they switch over to a Pokemon that's three to yours, you have to just keep switching. The switching makes it really drawn out. And not very intuitive.
Is it like, because I've always found like the battles to be slow, no matter how quick they say they make them. Like, that just sounds like it's kind of cumbersome without the speed of the battle.
It makes it more cumbersome.
Okay.
Because you have to switch depending on what they've got in the middle. And if you say, for example, if you have to switch twice to get that Pokemon in the middle, then you're wasting two turns. It's rather annoying. It's nice to see they're actually trying something different other than just say, here's a new map, though.
Yeah. Do you know if there's, once you beat it, I know you open up the old Pokemon, do you also open up older regions?
No. But from what I can tell is, the map is a bit bigger than it has been. And you can tell that sometimes because how sometimes Pokemon will have screens? So there'll be say if you're going from a town to a route, you have to go into the building and then out of the building into the route.
Yeah.
Right.
So one city in particular, it has like 9 screens you have to go through to get to the end of it. So there's the front bit, which is where the Pokemon Center is, and then there's like alleyways that go into the city, and you can go down one alleyway and get to the gym, go down one alleyway and get to some sort of shop, you can go down one alleyway to get to somewhere else, and then at the end of the alleyways there's another bit that connects them all again. And if you're going from the gym to the Pokemon Center, it takes an annoying amount of time, even if you're running, just to get to the Pokemon Center again. Because you have to come out of the gym, out of the alleyway, all the way across the front of the city to get to the Pokemon Center. But
sounds like you need more escape ropes.
Nice.
Although at least this time around, you don't have to run into a completely separate building to get to the item store, because they put it in the Pokemon Center.
Oh, now it's nice hit,
that's cool. Yeah.
I guess the economy even hit the Pokemon world. Yeah. They can't have 2 separate stores anymore.
Well, at least they can afford free healthcare still.
Fair enough. But they have to sell stuff at the store now, so. Or the Pokemon Center, I should say. But I guess now we're running over.
What have you been playing, Earl?
Yeah, so real quick, I've been playing, well, one, I've been playing Ratchet and Clank, Crack in Time, which is a really enjoyable game. I'll save that. I've also been playing Epic Mickey, which is an interesting game. I like it, but it's rough around the edges, I guess. Like, it's a game that tries to be a lot of things, and it's never that great in any one department. It feels like Mario mixed with Zelda mixed with a bit of an RPG. You have, your platforming elements, which are okay, but they're not the greatest. Then the combat's kind of iffy.
Really? Is it just like everything with the paintbrush?
No, it actually isn't. Some enemies you actually can't, your paintbrush has no effect on them. So it's like most of the enemies you can either use thinner to destroy them or use paint to turn them on your side. And it's actually, it helps to turn them on your side. So I try to usually turn them on my side. It takes longer. But, if you do that, they will start attacking other enemies for you, which helps out. If you thin them, you just kill them. And then there's enemies who you can't use your paint or thin on because you can't turn them to your side. So, you have to knock them out or knock them with his spin move or his jump. And then there's another type of enemy that just got introduced where you have to, thin out his shell. And then when he flips over, you have to run up to him and attack him. So there is some variety in it, but it doesn't look like they're going to introduce too many different enemies at this point. And then, the RPG element, at least to me, is, the fact that, you get a lot of fetch quests. You'll get, one quest is I had to get ice cream from a town to bring it back to a girl so she can make ice cream cake for her husband, and then I have to bring the ice cream cake back to her husband.
What?
Yeah. So it's like you just jump between these two towns back and forth. And if you don't get it, I actually went on a mission before I got her ice cream, but it expired, so I didn't get her ice cream. So she just made him a pie, and I had to bring him his pie.
That's a sweet side quest.
Wait, the missions expire? What?
Yeah. Well, because, if you come out of the area, sometimes stuff, the game evolves and moves on. I did it. It doesn't tell you when it expired, but you can check. I think I've completed 30 missions. I think 3 of them have expired on me. And I have 6 active. So yeah. And I like the fact that the choices aren't binary. That tends to happen in games where it's oh, this is the good choice and this is the bad choice. Yeah, I was gonna get, but this one, it's some of the choices aren't necessarily, okay, this is the good one, this is the bad one. An example of one I just did was, I went into a town, and in order for me to open the door to progress, I had 2 options. I could either open the door manually by doing some platforming and activating some TVs, or I could take care of all the enemies in the area, and that would open it. And neither one of those seemed, you don't really know which one would be the good option or the bad option. I ended up doing both, but only the first one counts. But I assume that the one I did was the good option, because, you end up taking out enemies for them instead of doing the selfish thing and just kind of making progress on your own.
Is there any, consequence or, variable that it's keeping track of, or?
There are, because there's multiple endings, so they're, you know, keeping track of them, but so far it doesn't really play out. The only time I've ever seen it actually play out so far is that one of the boss battles is, it's activated because I completed a quest, but like you get something and you can give it to either to one of two characters, and because I gave it to the other character, he got mad at me. And then when I went into town, he's part of the, he's the mayor of the town, so he's not as, he doesn't want to help me, you know, go further in the game because I didn't get his thing for him.
I wish more games would do it that way. That's why I like, that's an, thing I like with New Vegas is, it's not, oh, you're bad, therefore this is the way it plays out. It's the fact that you basically play it how you think, and you side with different people, and obviously depending on who you side with, it depends on other factions and how they treat you. I really like, I think that more games should do it that way. Instead of just saying, oh, this is good and this is bad, they should just let you play it how you want.
Yeah, I think, that, I mean, because Mass Effect, you tend to do that. It's like, oh, this is the good option, this is the bad option. And it, you know, it colors it for you so you know which is which. I get that it doesn't really paint a picture that says, oh, you know, this is the good option, you go with
it's
that
just,
if you want to be
it's
good.
It's just, you've done this, now you need to suffer the circumstances for whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it's also like sometimes, and again, it depends on how you want to play, because sometimes like you can do an easier, something that's easier for you, but it's actually more difficult. Like one puzzle I solved, I had to get a power back to a crane, and then you can either do that by going around. Again, with the televisions, I don't know why televisions is a power supply in this world, but you can either do the televisions, or I ended up finding a Grimmian who's like, who's in the far back of the stage, and you know, I just happened to spot him because that camera's a mess. So half the time you're fighting with it, trying to center your character, and I just spotted him. And I freed him just because I saw him, and it was a couple of platforming stuff. And he just happens, he's like, oh, this is my expertise, I'll fix it for you, and that's that. And you get to move on. So I'm enjoying it, but it's rough around the edges, and I guess I didn't, the camera's awful. That camera is a pain in the ass. I haven't seen a camera that bad since Mario Sunshine.
Would you say it lives up to the hype?
You see, I don't know what people expected from it. It's not a platformer. It's not the best action adventure game. It's a really fun Disney game. It's enjoyable. I don't know. I mean, it's a very decisive game. There are people who love it and there's people who hate it. So, to that degree, I think it's nice that it's a game that lives up to its own reputation where, you know, it's not always good. It's not always right or wrong. It's, you know, people get different things from it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I guess that should be it for what you've been playing this week. And I guess we can take a little break. We're back, and this week has been... Apparently, each and every company is touting their sales figures for this week. Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony. All these different sales figures that... are kind of connected, I guess, and aren't in some ways.
Well, some of them are sales figures. Some of them are shipped figures.
I guess if we're going to talk about that, we might as well start with Sony then.
Oh.
And they have shipped, sold, bought, borrowed, stolen. I don't, depending on which source you ask, this number doesn't mean anything or it means the world. But there are 4.1 million PS moves in the wild in some form. If it's sitting in some retailer's back office or if it's at home with some gamers, we don't know.
But what do you think?
Sony uses ship numbers.
Of course it is.
Honestly, if it's 4.1 million, it's a great number, but it's a terrible device because if you look at any of the software charts, MPD, ChartTracks, Media Crate, none of the move software is selling, so people are buying this stuff either to play Heavy Rain and Resident Evil 5, or they're just playing it to be a Sony fan and say, I own one, because they're not buying games for it. And at the end of the day, I think that's the biggest issue. It's like, you can have a device that sells a lot, but if nobody's making games for it, what's the point?
Well, that's exactly why it's a shipped number and not a sold number, because Sony doesn't want to say, oh, we only shipped so many moves, because they know that they probably haven't met targets at all.
Yeah, and if Sony was really, you know, if they were really, they would say they shipped so many PSIs or so many PS navigation or controllers as well. Because, you know, with the Move, if you say so 4.1, that includes the PS3 bundles, that includes the Sports Champion bundles, that includes individual Move bundles. So you have, like, three different things. Yeah, sure, you can say you shipped that, but it doesn't tell us anything.
But it only does everything.
It does everything, but like I've been saying with Sony this entire generation, it does everything and nothing great at once. It's like they don't know what to focus on. Like, they've tried it 3D, but what Gran Turismo has it, they don't show it in the commercials.
It's true.
I have to admit that the fact that it does everything but nothing particularly great is completely true.
That would be an awesome commercial. Like,
you know... And I think that's Sony's problem, is they're like, hey, we've got this awesome thing, and they don't really do anything with it.
Yeah.
Because at least, like, Microsoft, when they announced Kinect, they announced a whole lot of stuff that it can do, like the voice control and the face tracking and, you know, all the, like that awesome, like, paint demo that they had.
I forgot about that one.
You know, at least they kind of they showed a lot of confidence in it instead of just saying, "Yeah, we've got this thing. We've got this thing. You should go and buy it. It's awesome."
Yeah, the thing though is that Sony's not even marketing this as an HD. They're not really marketing it as anything. To them, it's like they're marketing it to gamers, I guess. It's like, because I don't know if you've seen the commercials where, like, oh, you thought motion control games were only for kids or something like that. And that's like you insult half of the audience who would actually pick that up before you even they know what the device is. There's no, I never got the issue with people marketing stuff towards kids or adults. You want a demographic. You don't always need an 18 to 34 year old male to buy your device. So it's the same thing like Sega used to do with Nintendo. It's like you market to whoever you want to market to. You don't insult a potential audience. It's the same thing with, I believe, with Microsoft in Australia, who said that their demographic is like the basement dwellers wearing Metallica shirts.
Who said that?
That's a good myth.
That was what Microsoft said about their current audience when they were trying to sell Kinect. You don't insult the people you have so that you can get people you might not get.
Huh. Some politicians in this country should learn that.
So, yeah. I guess that's enough on Move. I'm kind of curious where they go in the next year because...
If they go anywhere.
Yeah, like, Sony doesn't really have anything announced. Like, people are going to say, yeah, they have Killzone,
well, they have
SOCOM.
But they have Sorcery.
And
they
one
have
game.
Sorcery. They one have game. Sorcery, though.
One game is going to make
Sorcery.
A system.
Sorcery looks really cool. I'm not going to lie.
It does. Sweet.
It does look good. I think we can all agree on that. But
it's not going to carry the Move, though.
No, it's not. Especially if it's not a game that's not out like in the first 3 months of the year. In other sales figure, Microsoft announced that they sold 2.5 million Kinects in 25 days. And I believe they confirmed that this is actually sold numbers.
Yeah, they
not surprised.
Because Microsoft actually has games for it.
Yes, and when you spend $500 million, you know, it's kind of destined.
When you say, you know, we're launching this thing and it will have 19 games for it on launch, that's what we want to see. Not, oh yeah, it's going into maybe this game, and if you have that game, it will work with Move, and
Sony. I mean, we've got it, so maybe there will be a game for it sometime, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, it's here. Someone will probably make something for it, right? Like, that feels like Sony's entire marketing scheme at this point.
That would be awesome if they did that in a commercial. Hey, shit, bought it already. Coming. Somebody's going to buy a game, make a game for it. But yeah, I expected Kinect to sell it as well. Again, with the marketing behind it. But yeah, I've always said Kinect has a clear message behind it. You know what you're getting with Kinect. There's no wishy-washy, you know, we can have it in Halo, but, you know, if you prefer Halo with a controller, you can... No, it's like Dance Central. You can only play with Kinect. There. You have Kinect Adventure, Kinect Sports, or Joyride. Even if some of those games look like they play themselves, they are games that it's only working on Kinect, and they're games that appeal to a different audience than the core...
Yeah.
Frat boy audience that the 360 attracts.
The thing is Sony has no third party developers jump on Move yet, really. Other than maybe Ubisoft. But
Ubisoft always jumps on it.
Because like we've said before, Move has no killer app, whereas the killer app for Kinect is Dance Central. Even I want Dance Central.
Yeah. And to be fair, Kinect has a lot of, but it doesn't really have that tremendous third-party support, but it has game. Microsoft was smart enough to, buoy the launch, because Dance Central and I guess Your Shape Fitness and I guess EA Sports Active are like the big three third-party games. There's not any core I didn't even realize Disney canceled their title.
Do we know what it was?
The thing is, Kinect has like a lot more a little bit more third-party support. They're a little more comparable with the Move, but the Kinect has first-party support.
Yeah.
And which I feel like the Move
doesn't have any of. Oh, we've got Echo Chrome, too. Oh, cheers, Sony.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's, I love some of these downloadable games, but those are not system sellers. Nobody knows they exist unless you already own the console.
I always wanted a PS3 because of Wipeout. Screw God of War 3, Wipeout.
Yeah, and finally, Nintendo announced sales figures for their Black Friday week. They sold 900,000 DSs and 600,000 Wiis, which I think is better than their last 3 months combined. I could be a little off on that regard, but...
Of course it is, because the Wii is in decline, isn't it?
The Wii seems to pick up over the holidays. That's what most people expected. We'll see how well it does in the month. But, it's been picking up in Japan and Europe overall. It seems like the type of item people get for gifts. And it's in decline, but it's also in a point where it's a saturation. I mean, it sells, 75 million worldwide already?
Yes.
There's only so many people who can buy it. And it's not like they're doing console refreshes. They haven't added a new hard drive. The only thing they've added are new colors. And, some people buy it, some people don't. So, yeah. Three numbers, three vastly different pictures. This sounds like a bad transition since we were just making fun of people not buying games for downloadable titles, but we had several announcements this week, including BitTrip Flux, which is announced. I don't think they said much about it, but I'm disappointed Anthony's not here because he's a huge fan of the BitTrip series.
I think the only BitTrip game I have actually access to is BitTrip Beat, because it's on PC.
Yeah, it is. But
I'm not a fan, not a particular fan of music games like that.
Well, it's not really, they're all different types of games, like, BitTrip Runner is a good platformer, BitTrip, what was the last
BitTrip
one?
BitTrip Runner sucks. I hate that game. Like, it's awesome, but I hate that game.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
BitTrip Faith is a rail shooter, which is literally you on rails.
Yeah.
There's BitTrip. I forget the other ones. But yeah, they're not all music games, but they all kind of use that musical motif, I guess.
Pretty different. Like, as far as just the concept and design of each game, they share like a few of the same elements, but they're by and large pretty different games.
Yeah, but
are they all like a pretty steady quality? Like, if you start anywhere,
Yeah, and the good thing is, at least with BitTrip Faith now, is that Nintendo's actually doing demos for WiiWare, so that demo's up on WiiWare. So if you wanted to check it out, you can.
They're doing demos again for WiiWare
until they decide they want to stop doing demos for WiiWare.
Well, this time it's permanent. Last time was a test, and I guess they figured the test. If school was like this, where you took a test and you got the results a year later, I don't think many people would enjoy school. Well, not that many people do now.
I can wait as long for my test results as you want to take. I am fine with that.
But yeah, it's still the demo solution's still kind of Nintendo-ish. If I'm not mistaken, a developer mentioned that the demos are on there for 4 weeks, and if they're rated well on the Nintendo channel, they can stay longer. If not, they're taken off after 4 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like when they do that to demos. EA is guilty of that. It's like, you want to play the demo after this time? Well, too bad, because we've taken the servers down.
Yeah, so it's Nintendo. They have some weird decisions.
Some.
Well, okay, like I said, their online strategy this generation has been awful. I don't think anybody's been... Yeah, well, I mean, there's something I get, but yeah, it's not the best. Well, it's not... Yeah, anyhow. And there was also a Miss Ocean Man, so I guess she's taken on the role of Miss Pac-Man, where she can't even get her own name.
Yeah, I was like, hang on, so you do three fairly original games in a row, and then you go and do, you know, basically a carbon copy of...
And then talk about how you don't ever want to make a sequel to your games and how you want everything you did to be original.
And it's like, you know, Ms. Splosion Man, could you think of anything more original than that, please? I would prefer Splosion Man 2 than Ms. Splosion Man.
And is his name actually Splosion Man, and wouldn't that make her Mrs.?
What?
I don't know.
But here's the question. How do they spell it? Is it Miss Splosion Man or Miss...
MS. 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 SPL.
It would have been cooler if they dropped the second S on the beginning of Splosion. So it was just... Man.
Oh, well. But, yeah, I mean, I assume you folks are looking forward to it.
No.
I still haven't beaten the first one. I mean, the time I spent was really fun, but I just never really felt...
As far as I was concerned, it got really frustrating really quick.
Yeah, I remember... I mean, it was an okay game, but like it was awful when I tried to play it online because of the egg, and it's a game that's so based on time, and the egg would just screw you up.
Yeah.
And I remember an article IGN wrote about like how Splosion Man's a better game than Super Mario, New Super Mario Brothers Wii, because it has 86 levels or something stupid like that.
How they wrote about, gee, Flame Bait gets us lots of hits, so we should probably try that sometime.
Yeah. And it worked, I guess.
We're talking about the company that did nothing but slate blur in its review and then give it a 7.5 out of 10. That's average, isn't it?
That actually means it's a pretty poor game on an IGN scale. But, and I guess Super Tofu Boy.
This is pretty... apparently, though, there's a story behind this. So, obviously, Super Meat Boy, right? And then the American Organization for, I don't know, Protection of Animals or something like that.
PETA for the Environmental Treatment of Animals.
Yeah, that's it. So they went and made a Flash game called Super Tofu Boy, where Super Meat Boy is the bad guy. And then, the funny thing was, is the developers of Super Meat Boy noticed this, and what they did is they patched Super Tofu Boy into the game, and I wish I was making this up. They patched him into the game, and they made him really weak, and when they announced that the patch had gone live, they just went, "Enjoy your iron deficiency." It was pretty funny. This stuff should happen more often.
That's pretty cool.
I wish more developers had a sense of humor, but Sega has actually had a pretty decent sense of humor.
And the thing is they purposely made it so when you play as Super Tofu Boy, he can't jump as high, and he can't do wall jumps like Super Meat Boy can, so he's nowhere near as useful. Super Meat Boy, it's pretty sweet.
There's nothing sweet about tofu.
And then they cracked a joke on their Twitter account saying, "How many PETA members does it take to screw in a light bulb? None, because PETA can't get anything done.
Yeah, or change anything, right? Yeah, fuck. I loved that. That made me happy all over. I didn't even realize there was a context behind it.
Yeah, that was the context.
Great.
I don't know if anybody has been paying attention to Sega and the Structoid, little scaffold they're having right now.
The what?
Because,
I know Sega sent them that huge, and I mean huge poster of Sonic.
Yeah, because the Structoid reviewed Sonic Colors and gave it a 4.5, so instead of getting upset... Yeah. Instead of getting upset...
sucks.
That one guy, though, he's just...
It is that one guy, Jim Starlin.
I don't want to be that kind of guy that gets, like, frustrated about this stuff, but he just pisses me off. He's, like, the typical pompous fucking nerd, and, oh, man, I can't stand it.
Yeah, so Sega, you know, Sega's like, he gave it a 4.5 or whatever. So they sent him that giant, it's like one of those exhibition things. Chad, you've been to E3. You know those giant posters they hang from the ceiling?
Oh, what?
Yeah, they sent him one of them.
And he made a post on Destructoid, and he said that he had, and he took a picture of it laid out in his garden because he couldn't fit it anywhere in his house. It was quite funny. And he was like, if I was to lie down, I would have my face in Sonic's balls. That's how big it is. Sega knows how to troll people.
Yeah, and then they invited this jerk toy to a party for Sonic Colors at their head office, and they had a cake that had 4.5 on it, and they, you know, they just went on some little joke.
I have to see this.
Yes, and then they had like some Sonic Colors tattoos, like patches, like nicotine patches, so that you can wean yourself off of Sonic Colors, and you would put it over your eyes so that the game's very terrible when you play it. It's a fun little video. They have it on YouTube. But yeah, Sega's have it, you know, like unlike that other thing with hydrophobia where the person's like, you don't know how to play this right, you don't know how to play this right. Yeah. They're having fun with it.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah, I'll send that video after this. Let's see, what else? And I guess that's it for downloadable titles. So this one kind of pissed me off. I don't know if anybody's read this, but earlier in the week, I guess like Monday or Tuesday, EA had some interview about the success of Dead Space and Mirror Edge.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, Mirror Edge didn't quite hit the mark.
Neither did Dead Space.
they were like, oh, we're going to be wait a while before we do a sequel to Mirror's Edge, because it didn't quite hit the mark, and DICE didn't do too well with that, and I was like, oh, shut up, EA, where's my sequel?
Didn't hit the mark, like, quality-wise, or,
no,
like, sale-wise?
No, sale-wise. Okay. They said the same thing about Dead Space, and they were like, you know, part of the reason is they felt that it doesn't loan itself to the type of gamers, and I think the biggest thing the biggest thing I took issue with is like they said that the reason neither one really did well was because they didn't offer make multiplayer.
That's untrue.
Yeah, what is it? You have to execute. You have to spend more time on a game to ensure its price, and you need to have the depth and persistence of an online game.
As I said before, if you just make a 5-6 hour campaign, do it. Just reduce the price so we get our value for money, because that's what people want, is value for money, not multiplayer.
And you make sure it's the best damn 5 or 6 hours a person can have. Mm. Like, Mirror's Edge was a very different game, and it was interesting, but yeah, it was short, and it really didn't offer replayability, so it's not worth $60.
I think I paid $7 for it.
They're confusing with time spent playing the game and value for money. They're not the same thing. And I wish publishers would just stop talking about multiplayer and wake up and just give us value for money.
Because there's a lot of games that have multiplayer that still didn't do well.
I would pay £40 for Black Ops because then I'll be playing the multiplayer because the multiplayer will be really well made. I will pay £40 for Reach for the same thing. But I will not pay £40 for Mirror's Edge. I would pay 30, maybe.
I don't think I would pay I'm not going to say £40. I won't pay $40 for Mirror's Edge, even if it had a multiplayer, because I don't really think that would benefit the series.
That's the thing is, Dead Space 2, I'm not getting Dead Space 2 for the multiplayer. I actually have plans to ignore the multiplayer.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of it. I was in the beta, and it's like a really slow pace shift for Dead.
Yeah, and I'm just planning to ignore that it exists and just play the single player. Because that's what I'm buying it for. Because that's what Dead Space 1 was about. The single player.
Yeah.
But isn't like, I just remember hearing that it actually was pretty good, like what they plan on doing with it. Like, or at least sounds somewhat interesting.
I don't care. It's not a multiplayer game.
Fair enough. I'm with you. I'm never gonna play it, but I don't know. At least it's not just, I guess it is kind of tacked on, but eh.
EA were like, oh, that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants multiplayer.
By all accounts, Ubisoft was pretty successful with it with Brotherhood, from what I've heard. I mean, I haven't played it myself yet, but
they were. I mean, we talked about this last week, where they said it has better sales than Assassin's Creed 2, and they attribute that to the fact that they have an online mode. And Assassin's Creed works because it's different. It's not like there's no other game like Assassin's Creed online right now.
Well, there is, but they're not popular.
Like what?
There's two games made by a small company that Ubisoft actually owned and closed called Outer Light, and it's The Ship and Bloody Good Time. And they are both played like, it's basically Assassin's Creed Brotherhood's multiplayer, just in a cartoony environment and in first person. So you're given a person to kill, and you need to do it without being seen for the majority of it. And you also have to be careful because there's somebody out there hunting for you.
It's an interesting thing. I just don't know how long of a shelf life it has. I haven't played Brotherhood. I only played the beta, so I don't know if they have like many different types of modes or if it's just that one. Be a hunter, be hunted.
Apparently there's about 4 modes. There's not too many.
And are they all... Is it like that? Is it like a team version of that and stuff like that?
I don't know. I just know there's more than one mode.
Okay. Well, somebody needs to get on Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Okay, and I guess that... This is going to be interesting. I really don't know what to make of it, but apparently there's an Inception video game in the works.
Awesome.
No thanks.
Thank you.
Want it so bad.
Oh, we have two no thanks users. I want to hear this.
Are you secretly a masochist?
Yes,
maybe. What? So is Chad.
Well, Chad takes his abuse in other ways. He takes it through the bottle.
What? No.
All I can imagine the Inception video game being is Gears of War.
See, I don't see it being Gears of War.
If they can make a Harry Potter video game into Gears of War, they can do it with Inception.
I think that's what you could probably expect. I like the idea of it more. For what they could do with it, but they probably won't. I think it's something they could play around with and something pretty cool could come out of it.
I think that the concept of Inception works better as a movie than it does as a video game. And I think the concept is much greater than anything they could offer in a video game.
Well, Inception's not really about the action, is it?
No, that's what I mean. That's why it's a concept. Because it's kind of like part of the thing with especially with the climax, it's like there's like three different things going on three different levels at once.
Yeah.
And it's like the time differences, it's like why it makes it exciting. Like, I don't see how you would do that time element in a video game well.
Adventure game.
Yeah, but how are you going to have it? Are you just going to like jump back and forth between time? Like, because you know like how one time moves extremely slow? Like that whole, and I'm sorry for anybody who hasn't seen the movie. It's been, 6 months? It's out on DVD Blu-ray this week, so.
Oh yeah, it is.
Not a dream.
It's $18 on Amazon.com for the Blu-ray DVD combo pack. Not that we're selling it here, but yeah.
But you kind of are. If you haven't seen that movie, go fucking watch it.
But yeah, like that whole the thing with the truck falling into water, that takes Trace like over an hour.
Wait, there's trucks and water? Spoilers!
That takes Trace like
in this film? Spoilers!
So yeah, I don't know how that would work without it seeming weird. Like you're jumping back into the first level of the Inception, and time's supposed to be moving much faster than the other. Yeah, it's gonna be a mess. Do we know who's making it? Well,
no one's involved. I think that's all they know.
Well, we know it's gonna be Warner Brothers. I wonder what their studio.
I think all it was Christopher Nolan going, yeah, this will be an awesome idea.
Yes, the same Christopher Nolan who made sure there was no Dark Knight video game. So. And that made sense.
Well, they could have just made Arkham Asylum, couldn't they?
But they did make Arkham Asylum.
Well, they did. Yeah.
And I'm assuming there's going to be no Batman 3 game if Arkham City's next year, so.
Don't need one, then.
Exactly. You don't always need a movie tie-in. It never makes sense.
Well, he probably has an idea for it.
Well, think of it this way, right?
He put it in Inception there.
A movie is a movie for a reason. The same reason why video game movie tie-ins don't work, because a video game is a video game for a reason.
Yeah, tell that to the people who want video games to become movies.
People don't listen to me. Otherwise, we would have 5 to 6 hour campaign games with, for $30, and no multiplayer that's tacked on.
Yeah, because I don't know. That's a debate for another day. I guess we gotta get through these last two pieces. Because they're going to kind of harp on the fact that multiplayer shouldn't be in everything. And honestly, I don't know many people who play, like, at most, I would say 3 or 4 multiplayer games a year is what I need. I play Reach, I play GoldenEye.
Monday Night Combat.
Monday Night Combat. Oh, did you get the new map pack?
Yeah, I got it. I haven't played on any of the new maps yet.
Oh, there's only one new map in this map pack, though.
There's one, and one's the survival mode.
Oh, we should try it after this, but...
I've seen a couple of the new features, though.
Oh, anyway. I've played the new map, and I got the churros. I don't know what it does, though. But, yeah, moving on. The final two pieces are hardware-related. Both of them are kind of weird. The first is that Sony is, I guess, not packing in, but they're building Bravia TVs with PS2 built in.
So, I was looking at this TV, and because it's announced for Europe, it's apparently a European model, so sorry. No, none of you guys will probably get it.
Yeah, I'm sure there are 125 million copies of the PS2. Nobody has one.
The problem I have is this TV looks pretty, it's a good idea, but knowing Sony, they're going to overprice it.
I thought it was only like $275 or something like that.
Oh, I haven't seen the price then. And it's only 720p.
Well, it's a PS3,
it's a PS2,
so. Yeah, PS2,
yeah, but
I should say.
I mean the TV. I'm sitting in front of a 22-inch, which is exactly the same size that this TV will be, and it does 1080p.
So, yeah, but to me, this sounds like the type...
I don't know if this is me getting my facts wrong, but what's the point in releasing a TV nowadays that only does 720p?
This sounds like the type of budget TV, like your spare TV, or TV you give to your kids or something.
Maybe.
It's 22 inches. It's not that big. It's not that small. So it does high definition.
But
it has a built-in video game system.
They build a PS2 and it means that I can play TimeSplitters. If I get it, I'll be able to play TimeSplitters again.
Yeah, it sounds like the perfect TV, like an extra TV, like one you have in the den or your game room or something like that. Where you don't have to hook up the you hook up like your PS2, your GameCube, your Xbox, stuff like that. Where it might not necessarily agree with like a 42-inch 1080p TV. And it's cheap. It's like I said, it's $200. I would get it.
It's a nice option.
Yeah, I would get it
if I needed a second TV. Drop everything and go buy it, but like you said, it's a nice supplement to whatever you might already have.
It's kind of an odd decision, though, considering isn't the PS2 kind of nearing the end of its shelf life now?
It's been over, which is why it makes great sense, though. It's like,
Well, no, because it means they have to keep, it's not like you can go out and buy PS2 games brand new anymore.
That's true, but you can still get them, and I assume it also, with the PS2, it also has a built-in DVD player, stuff like that. So I'm sure you've seen TVs with, like, DVD players built in and stuff like that, and people get those. It's just the convenience of not having so many devices under a television.
I suppose.
If they had done this and charged $800, I'd have an issue with it. But for a budget price, and if I had kids, I'd get them one of these TVs and put it in their room.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find it a little ironic that they took the PS2 out of their dedicated gaming machine and then decided to build one into their televisions.
They have a dedicated gaming machine? When did this come out?
No, because it does everything. It's not dedicated. It does everything.
It only does everything, except for play PS2 games.
Pretty much. Yeah, you can do everything except for gaming.
If you want to play PS2 games, buy one of our TVs.
Which you probably don't want to hook your PS3 up to, because it doesn't give it the best picture quality. But, it's not beat up on Sony too much. They're a good company. They just don't always know when it's enough is enough. I mean, it's more value for your money, but yeah. And finally, speaking of a company that never knows what to do with their accessories, Nintendo is phasing out their Wii Speak. We're still waiting for the day they started phasing them in, but...
They're one game supports it, and that's Animal Crossing?
No, I think there are 5 games that support it.
So basically the same amount of games on the GameCube that support multiplayer online support Wii Speak on the Wii.
Yeah,
I forgot the GameCube supported LAN.
Yes, all of that Mario Kart.
I had my first online game experience, first console online game experience with the GameCube.
Which game? Phantasy Star?
Phantasy Star. Yeah, it was my first Phantasy Star too, and I just fucking hated it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't get it. I was too young at the time to put, I don't know. It was not good.
I'm hardcore. I started with Halo 2. Actually, no, I didn't. I started with Age of Empires, but you know.
I started with Call of Duty 2. I started. 360.
That was a bit late.
Yeah, it was.
Because you're older than I am.
Yeah.
I started with Halo 2. I had a Dreamcast, I just never hooked it up online.
Poor shame.
So yeah, I mean, bitch, I do have a Wii Speak, which isn't surprising.
Sucks to be you.
it doesn't suck to be me. I didn't pay for it.
That thing's limited edition now. He's going to be able to sell it on eBay for like $8 billion.
It's like the Game Boy Player.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that
one
too.
Of the 12 Wii Speaks that they actually sold.
I actually have way too many Nintendo accessories, but most of these I don't buy. Like the Game Boy Player was something my friends got me for Christmas because they assumed that. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was nice. But, and the Animal Crossing thing was like $20 on Amazon, so. But yeah, they're phasing that out, and now I guess they're phasing in. I guess not them exactly, but that new headset. Yeah, there's a headset that comes with Call of Duty Black Ops. Hmm. And it works with the conduit. Oh, I did not know my son to try head voice chat. Go figure.
Indeed. It's probably this headset isn't Nintendo though, is it?
No, but I think they're supporting it. It's kind of like the whole you draw thing. Yeah. Which is part of the reason I think they're phasing out the Wii Speak is because of the headset.
Maybe, yeah. Like, a third party company did something way better than we did.
Either way, it's not that big
of
a deal because first you have to get people to make online games for your consoles and then you have to get speech support.
Yeah.
Though sometimes I'm happy for it because honestly the party system was the greatest thing that happened to 360 because I really hated hearing 12-year-old people complain about, you know, dropping the N-word and the F-word. And
on PC, you just get that in text.
Oh, nice.
That's why I decided to stay illiterate. Then I don't have to deal with it.
So I think that's a wrap. If anybody else has anything to add this week?
No.
Okay, so for last minute business as usual, if you like this podcast and you're one of those people who uses an Apple product, and has iTunes, which is like 95% of the world these days. You can leave us a review. Look for Dual Wielding. And again, we rate on a video game scale, so anything from 5 stars to 5 stars works for us. We don't necessarily mind the content as long as it's 5 stars. Yeah, and of course, we're doing our Game of the Year podcast next week-ish. Because we're doing it because, honestly, there's nothing coming out in December.
But the Game of the Year thing depends on who turns up.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody's agreed to it, but what was I going to say? Technically, we're doing it the day after the VGAs because, you know, we're actually just going to steal all their answers and make a podcast out of it.
The VGAs is on the 11th?
Yes.
Shit.
And so we're just going to steal all the answers from the VGAs and redo them on a podcast. So yeah, if you want to leave your pick for Game of the Year, Worst Game of the Year, Best Boss Battle, Best Subtitle, there's a bunch of categories we have nominated already that you can check out on the website, www.nerdsontherocks.com. Yeah, you can call us at 347-470-6373. There's still no great system set up for our international fans or fans outside of North America. There was a website, I forget the name of it exactly, where you can call the number for free, but it gives you like a 30-second time limit. So you'd have to speak really quickly, but if you wanted to, you could try that. But we'd love to hear from you. We'll try to put as many of them as possible on the podcast. So yeah, bunch of categories, you know, people love talking games. And if you don't vote Mario Galaxy, I'm just not going to air it.
I guess you should count me out for next week then.
So I say, for Chad, Dylan, Mike and myself, this has been Dual Wielding episode 14.
See ya.
Goodbye.